Bibi Hansen, pop cultural icon, performance artist, musician, and actress known for her work with Andy Warhol, will visit the University at Albany as part of the Creative Life Conversation Series at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 5th of September, at the University Art Museum on UAlbany's Uptown campus. The Creative Life Series is an arts initiative of the University Art Museum, New York State Writers Institute, and UAlbany Performing Arts Center in conjunction with us here at WAMC, with support from the University at Albany Foundation. Bibi Hansen first achieved prominence as a protege of American pop artist Andy Warhol. She collaborated on several films with him, including Prison, which he starred alongside Mary Menken and Edie Sedgwick. From 1990 to 1995, she operated Troy Cafe, which became the center of a multicultural renaissance in downtown Los Angeles and was home to a generation of musicians, comedians, artists, and filmmakers. Today, she creates artwork and is represented by Gracie Mansion Gallery in New York City. She recently completed the first draft of her memoirs. She lectures frequently, and she will be in Albany on the 5th of September. And we welcome Bibi Hansen to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Joe. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. I look forward to sitting down on stage and talking to you. What do you like when you do these events? What typically do you like to talk about?
Oh, anything and everything. Generally, my general area, my general fields definitely have usually to do with creative matters.
Sure.
Music, film, experimental art, as well as, you know, the problems of being a creative and of creating art.
So, and we will get into a lot of that during our time together on stage. I am curious, though, and I assume it goes without saying that when people talk to you, they're probably very interested in the collaboration with Andy Warhol.
That is a large area of interest with so many people. He remains relevant to this day, and people still, he resonates with people, and his work does too.
Is there a fascination, that fascination that people have in him and the work, does that still have an influence on you? Does that still have an imprint in what you do today?
Well, more than, let's say, his popularity, my personal experience with him and the lessons, even only observationally, that I gathered from being around him during that time have stayed with me always. He was very much a, when it came to art and art making and creative thinking and making and being, he was really devoted to his process and his practice. He was incredibly diligent and hardworking.
And you, at the time when he, when the collaboration began, you're a kid. You're just a kid. That must have been just amazing to be put in that situation. Even though, of course, you, you were already running sort of in those circles.
Yes, I my father was a student of John Cage and in the experimental art underground of New York City in the late, you know, mid to late 50s and early 60s, well, throughout, actually,
yep.
And was an innovator of a lot of interesting experimental art forms in that day, like happenings and all kinds of fun things like that. And he was a collage artist and a performance artist. So, yeah, I was very much in that area and familiar with that at the time. But to Andy's credit, we have to make note that Andy wasn't sexist. Andy wasn't ageist. You know, Andy was a remarkable free thinker. When you look, actually, there were several very young people who were given access in the factory and invited to collaborate with Andy Warhol. Sarah Dalton was, I think she was around 15, 16 years old when she was his editor for his first film, Sleep.
Mm.
And her brother, David Dalton, Stephen Shore, was a 16-year-old photographer, and Andy gave him full access to the factory. He was very open and very generous in his own way, which kind of belies a lot of the stories that we hear about him being very cynical and exploitive. That wasn't my experience at all.
One of the things that you make a point of saying, and I think it's fascinating, is that there's this thought that at the factory it was just one big party, but it was a factory in the sense that you were working. There was a lot of work in many different fields, but there was a lot of work going on.
Yes, absolutely true. It wasn't called the party. It was called the factory, and there was a reason for that. And it was very much a place where work went on. There were moments of social activity, and after hours, the caretakers were free to do whatever. But generally, in that particular factory itself, there was a lot of work going on. And mind you, there are a number of factories. There's a couple of factories. This was the silver factory on the Upper East Side.
Bibi Hansen is our guest. She is going to be part of the Creative Life Conversation Series at the University Art Museum on the Uptown campus of UAlbany on Wednesday, September 5th at 7 o'clock. Were you treated as a child, or were you treated in many ways as an equal to those around you?
Well, I think that really has to do with much more to do with who I was. I was already a professional actor. I made a pop record that had charted with my girlfriend Janet Kerouac, Jack Kerouac's daughter,
right,
and had been on, you know, performing and acting in experimental theater works downtown for some years before I met Andy Warhol.
So you had been around. I mean, you were part of the business, if you will, of show business. But this was different, and in that world were all of the people, because you said he wasn't sexist, he wasn't ageist. So everyone was treated fairly equally then.
Well, I was 14, going on 40.
Yeah,
I guess I mean by my demeanor, No, it's not that everybody who came in there was treated equally. I mean, in any social group, you know, there's different roles, and just like in any family, there's different levels of participation and engagement and like that. But the years that I'm talking about are very early, and they were very much about experimental art and about exploring the possibilities of creativity applied to different media in ways that they had never done before or really been much thought of before. And so it was a very exciting time, and it was very much an era of collaboration by artists. Most of the people who were at the factory and working in those days very early were artists from downtown and from the New York area, you know, like Billy Naim and myself, and Gerard Malango was a poet and an artist and in his own right, a very accomplished one. And each person brought that to the factory, and Andy was very welcoming to those things. Later on, you know, when he hooked up with Morrissey, and they did the more Hollywood exploitive models of filmmaking, that was a very, very different period of time than the early experimental artwork collaborations that of the time period that I'm talking about.
When you look at now, how do you characterize the creative work that you do?
Oh, the work that I do now?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that's pretty wide open. Could you be a little, can you
Well,
get in there a little bit.
Sure, I can. In the sense of, what do you is there something right now that you are looking at and that is your focus? What is your focus right now?
I've always been across working across a number of different directions and areas. I have my visual artwork,
right,
that has two components. One is handwork that's very, just very much hands-on and out here. And then I have a whole realm of digital performance work that I do with an international group of performance artists who all work together to perform in virtual reality of Second Life and do performance art pieces there, which are then channeled out into these spaces. And then I do performance itself, just very regular, more theatrical, mm-hmm, and in real time and space right here, performance art pieces of my father's, my own, the group of Fluxus artists, and I do writing and performing and lecturing as well. And all of those have very different, my performance work, my virtual and digital work, as well as my hand-created artworks, are all their own separate sort of fields and areas.
With that said, and I understand, but with that said, is my assumption correct that it is you who decides that? You now have the luxury of deciding what it is that you're going to do and what you're going to spend your time on. It isn't someone who is directing you and saying, we need you to do this.
Oh, yes. No, it's all very much self-directed. Even if somebody was directing me, it would still be self-directed. I would agree or I wouldn't, because that's how it goes.
Right. And it's what you want to do, which is very reflective of who you are, which is all part of the art and the creativity, isn't it?
Yes. Well, process. I think that the questions we're touching on here are the difference between the art process and the art practice.
Right.
Because an artist practices, like a lawyer practices law, or a doctor practices medicine. There is an art practice, which is when you get up every day and you do your writing, or you go to the studio, or you either as a visual artist or as a recording or music creator or sound creator. That's our practice. You know, the process has probably more to do with being ourselves and engaging in life and being awake and conscious in our own lives and living an authentic self and in an authentic way in our lives. And the practice is the then expression of what our engagement brings us, where we come to.
And the practice is what is very reflective of you, very reflective of who you are. It is a facet of who you are.
Well, yeah, that is the expression of one's experience. I mean, to be an artist is to make the decision to live consciously. I mean, that everybody does to, people, a lot of people don't want to do, but everyone can do. The expression of our experiences doing that can manifest in a number of different ways, from, paintings or collages or dances to food that we make or the way we love our children or the way we host radio interviews.
The Creative Life Conversation series will feature Bibi Hansen at the University Art Museum on Wednesday, September 5th at 7 o'clock. Were you, I mean, obviously, I know there's maturation, but were you always fully aware of that, or did that take a great transformation in you to understand that part of you?
It was a growth, certainly, but it starts, one of the places it starts is with my father, Al Hansen, and also with my work with Andy Warhol, because he was very much about process. And my father's work was very much about breaking down the barriers between life and art. And he belonged famously to a group of Fluxus artists who right. even went farther with that. For instance, wonderful Alison Knowles got up on stage and for a performance swept the entire stage, and then what she got, she swept up into a dustpan and exited. You know, so now when you clean your kitchen and you're sweeping your floor, you could say, I'm performing Alison Knowles. Because when we do things intentionally and when we do things with awareness and when we're awake in them, we raise them up, you know, and ourselves by that awakeness. And so art's a part of that. But as well, that expression of self can only happen really if we spent a certain amount of time actually being awake and living as ourselves, as opposed to muting our feelings and running away from them with all manner of soft addictions and, you know, watching TV and going shopping and chat and,
right.
and whatever we're doing. And it's a way of shutting down. But even in those instances, people want, they know they need some art. So we go to the concert, or we read some poetry, or we go to the poetry reading, or we go to the museum. And then we have this experience via the artist of this engagement on a very fundamental level as that artist self with life. And we get to experience that through the artist's artwork and experience some form of transcendence. But in actuality, every single person can do that.
Bibi Hansen is our guest. She will be a part of the Creative Life Conversation Series Wednesday, September 5th at 7 o'clock. And what do you want from an audience in the sense of how they react to the art? Do you leave that completely up to them, or is there something that you hope, and I realize this depends on the work, but mm-hmm. is there a hope that of what you would like them to achieve, to think about, to experience?
Generally, I find life is better lived in a kind of open system of not having a lot of expectations. What people do is what they do. What they think is what they think. And each person brings to it whatever their experience is. But through your expression, you know, I guess that the ultimate challenge is for them to feel something. And because that's, you know, maybe what they're not getting in their own life, and maybe that inspires them to be a bit more present for their own selves in terms of what their life experience is.
Do you want them to like you? Do you want them to like the work?
I honestly don't believe that is really got anything to do with art. As humans, as people, of course, we all want to be loved.
Well,
and
right.
we all want everyone to think everything we do is marvelous
and there
and
is
just really wonderful.
And there is a commercial aspect too, right?
I don't know if, you know, when we're starting to think in those considerations, we're doing something a little different than straight up art. You know, then we're getting into doing a business that uses art or something else. So I think the primary concern is that one is living one's art process and one is continuing to practice, and out of that practice will grow whatever one's expression is. And I don't know if that can really be dictated. It doesn't have anything really to do with, you know, life-scale drawings. That's a parlor trick. It may be a part of art making or not, or your art or not. It may be a part of what it is that you do that expresses yourself, but it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with art.
Especially in performance art, is there a sense that an awareness of the audience, or does there have to be for you a wall of it is what you are doing, and however that is received, and that is how that is received, but it is how you react to it?
Well, I think, again, it depends on the type of work at the piece. For instance, Flexus work is done with very specifically and very intentionally and
right.
with a great deal of gravitas and decorum, which is part of what makes it oftentimes quite silly and fun. But other things do, you know, some pieces are theatrical, some pieces are quite dry. Others incorporate a lot of different elements. But it is what it is. And again, audiences bring to it who they are. And just in life, as in life, we don't control. I mean, generally, it's not a very happy outcome when we have expectations of how others will respond, behave, act, what they will do. And a lot of human misery comes from having expectations about such things.
Sure.
Because, you know, I mean, if somebody's kind of, you know, is difficult, then to expect that they're not going to be difficult is kind of a magical, not quite bright thinking and doomed to a lot of disappointment and upset. You know, a difficult person is going to be difficult to the degree that they are. You know, now what do you do in that context? But, you know, like people on the road who get completely bent out of shape because somebody's made a driving error or cuts them off. There are 1,000 reasons why that could have happened, including the fact that they're a bad or an inconsiderate driver.
Right.
and the world is magical, and one should never experience a bad driver or a critical viewer or somebody who doesn't like anything anyone does or reacts badly to what you do or whatever the thing is. But generally, that has more to do with who they are and what their life experience is than anything I have created or failed to.
So
there's no way to take that personally or to have expectations about it, I guess is what I mean.
So without beating this to death, let me just end with this question. Is there a point when you leave a venue, whether it be a stage or a gallery or whatever the place may be, that you feel either a sense of pride in what you have done or a sense of success in what you have done?
Wow. Tough stuff. Well, you know, I think we all just in life, we like it when people get us.
Right.
You know, when people like us and they like what we do or say or how we are or laugh at our jokes, you know, I think that's a pretty fundamental, you know, basic thing there. And even worse probably for your standard actor or performer. but I don't think it's fundamental to the work. I think when you've been on your process and you've been working and creating your work as it is, and you've done it to your own satisfaction, that's almost a complete thing there, except that you do have to, you know, I mean, part of it is putting it out in the world to share that experience with others. But it's kind of done before you get there, really. You know, I mean, when it comes to a piece of artwork, it's pretty. There's a really basic fundamental here, and that is that we're all completely, amazingly unique. There has never been another Joe in all of creation, and never will come another one again, nor a Bibby either.
Right.
So there's always going to be something new for people to get if we're coming from that really authentic place. There's always going to be something they're going to go, wow. And at the same time, there's something that we as artists share with everyone else, and that is our humanity. So there will always be something accessible.
We're going to have a blast on Wednesday. This is going to be fun. We have a lot to talk about. All kinds of good stuff. Bibby Hansen will join me for an interview as part of the Creative Life Conversation series at the University Art Museum at UAlbany's Uptown Campus. It happens Wednesday, September 5th at 7 o'clock. It is part of the Creative Life series. Bibby Hansen, I can't wait to talk to you much more. Thank you very much for talking to us this morning, and I look forward to our conversation on Wednesday.
I'm looking forward to it, too.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, Bibby Hansen will join us for an interview as part of the Creative Life Conversation Series at the University Art Museum on UAlbany's Uptown Campus, Wednesday, September 5th at 7 o'clock. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.